The next attribute is known as Haose Siyag Lidvarav. Person who makes a Siyag, a fence, Lidvarav. Now, even though we're familiar with this term, when it comes to the commentaries on this trait here in our Braisa, there are actually quite a few different explanations of what the Siyag is being referred to. But I think, as we will see, even those different interpretations really flow from the more basic debate in the commentaries, which is what is Dvarav? If this trait we're being taught is to make a Siyag Lidvarav, so we only understand what the Siyag is if we first understand what it's protecting. We know a fence protects, but what is being protected? What are the Dvarav? If we know what the goal is, form follows function. If we know what the goal is, what the Dvarav is, we'll understand why the various Mefarshim give different interpretations to Siyag. So with that introduction in mind, the first interpretation understands Dvarav as quite literally referring to one's speech, one's words. And in light of that, therefore, the Medrash Shmuel, for example, says that what our Braisa is telling us is that there's a certain benefit, a certain importance of being quiet, of silence. Efshar shakavanas haose siyag lidvarav, dvarav mamish. We're talking about actual words. Keose siyag b'inyan diburo. It's talking about limiting, if not complete silence, then limiting the amount or what one says. Rav Yaakov Emden in the Lechem Shemayim says the same thing as well, that this is a necessity for learning to speak a little less. And he points out that this is nimshach mi miut sicha. Earlier, I think it was the 19th of the midos, the kinyanim that we saw, was not talking too much. Miut sicha, decreasing the amount that we speak. And once you have those two, says Rav Yaakov Emden, they fit like hand and glove. Me'achar shehirgil b'miut sicha, goder atzma b'shtika. That the more you get into the habit of being careful and being circumspect and limiting your speech, so the more likely you are to have prolonged periods of actual quiet, which again, apparently is part of the Kinyanei Torah. This, of course, calls into mind and reminds us of the famous saying in Perkei Avos, earlier in Perek Gimel, that Siyag l'chachma, shtika. That, again, a fence, a protective fence for chachma, is to be quiet, not to talk so much. Or a variation in the Gemara Pesachim on Daf Tzadites, Yofa shtika l'chachamim. So these two, especially the Mishnah and Perkei Avos, Siyag l'chachma, shtika, clearly these are what's in the background, what's animating the Medrash Shmuel, the Lechem Shemayim, the Yaakov Emden, to interpret our phrase this way as well. Of course, it's just worth noting, important, which is, why is this true? How does it work? Why is a siyag for chachma shtika? What does it have in mind? Why is it that one of the kinyani hatorah is to be quiet, or at least speak significantly less than one would otherwise? So I think the simplest understanding is what Rabbeinu Yonah says there in Perkei Avos and Perek Gimel, that if you talk too much, you'll simply miss things. It's much better to listen and learn from others, then be busy talking, which A, you already know what you think, you already know your information, so if you're talking, you're not learning, because you're not learning from somebody else. And secondly, you just simply may miss information, even if you're broadly speaking, but if you speak up too soon, you interrupt, that is something that, we should, really consider, and I think we've all experienced this when we've been either a third party witnessing it, or on one of the two ends of this, if we think back to some of our experiences, we know, whether it's us or other people, if we've seen it, we know what I'm referring to. When you have people who are so quick to ask a question or give their opinion that they literally miss information, or just more broadly, don't have the right attitude or not focused on learning from others, but rather just talking. So that is the first interpretation, that Dvarav refers to speech, and Siyag the Dvarav refers to someone who limits his speech, if not silent, then at least significantly decreases how much they would otherwise speak. That's the first interpretation. However, other interpretations and other commentaries explain that the Dvarav is not speech. Generally, all speech limit that, but specifically Dvarav is your learning, your Divrei Torah. And therefore what's being recommended is to make a Siyag for your Torah, to do things, to do something that will preserve, that will protect and maintain your learning. So what is that? What is the siyag that will protect your dvarav, your learning? See, here we have, within this broader group of commentaries and comments and explanations, a number of different ideas. The Maharal says, keeping with this in mind, that it's referring to someone who has to speak, is being told that you have to speak, that we must speak, we're being taught we must speak clearly. We shouldn't speak imprecisely, in exaggerations or approximations, let alone actual inaccuracies, but we have to be precise and much more ordered and careful when we speak. The reason for this, says the Maharal, with a beautiful formulation, is that hatam baze mevuar ki iruv lashon may be iruv sechel. That if you're a person who's not precise, if you speak in confusing or imprecise or exaggerated or approximated formulations, so confusing lashon causes a confusing mind. And on the flip side, if you can clarify your formulations, it will help with your understanding and your retention. She'im ein osakach, so valide ta'us v'shikacha. That if you don't think clearly, this is going to, in the end, going to lead to mistakes or forgetting what you had otherwise learned. The Maharal here quotes a Gemara in Erevin on Daf Nun Gimel that distinguishes between the Bnei Yehuda, who were, in the Gemara's terminology, hikpidu b'lashonam, very careful and exact in their language, in their formulations, and therefore, says the Gemara, niskaima torasam biadam, they maintain their Torah. As opposed to the Bnei Galil, who were not careful in their words, and therefore, lo niskaima torasam biadam, they were not able to maintain their Torah. And this is, you know, quite significant, as the Maharal, somewhat dramatically, ends his commentary. He says that the davar zeh geder v'siyag gadol, the Torah ma'od, a double language for emphasis, says the Maharal. This is a really, really important point, that again, iruv lashon may be iruv seichel, imprecise or unclear formulations, confused language leads to a confused mind. And I think this is really fascinating, because we often have an expression, certainly in the yeshivas and the Beis Medrash, that if you cannot explain something, that means you don't really understand it. I think there's truth to that. If we can't be clear in our language, that shows that we aren't clear in our understanding. But that uses our lack of clarity in speech as an indicator for our lack of understanding. It's a siman that we don't understand it. The Maharal is saying, you know, perhaps based on this Gemara, but he's really fleshing it out and interpreting our Braisa this way. The Maharal's Chiddush is that, in a certain sense, the opposite. It's not just an indicator, but rather, it's a cause. It itself is the siba. It is the cause that if you have confused language and confused formulations, that itself will cause mistakes and lead to confused thought. Not just that it's an indication of a lack of understanding, it can lead to a lack of understanding. Something very, very fascinating, and certainly something that we should all take to heart. Another variation of this, again, agreeing in principle that dvarav means your learning, ha'osa siyag dvarav means do things to protect your learning. So the Medrash Shmuel, in one of his interpretations, says, gam efshar sheramaz be'inyan limud ha'Torah, ki osa siyag dvarav, that it also can refer to learning, and you should do things to protect your learning. Namely, what are we saying? V'mufla mimenu al yidrosh. A person has to know who he is. And you shouldn't go beyond the level of learning. You shouldn't learn things that are out of your depth. And says the Medrash Shmuel, if one does so, if you learn things that you're simply not ready for, at minimum, you're going to be frustrated and not understand. But worse, it could really lead to something significant. And he refers to the Gemara in Chagiga, the Fudalid, the famous Gemara about the four rabbis who entered Pardes. And they weren't all ready for it, and they didn't all end up well. One died, one went out of his mind. Hates eats the niska, hates eats the mace, and therefore says the Medrash Shmuel, a person has to know who they are. Al kain, achar shehisig kol efshari b'chukei lahasig. Once you've got and you've understood what you are capable of understanding, yase siyag le'atzmo, you have to, so to speak, learn how to make a fence and say, if amar, ad po tavo, v'lo tosif. this I can understand, this I can learn, and not more than that. So again, what is it that's in your league? What's beyond your depth? That's not always clear. Sometimes we make mistakes. Perhaps we need advice sometimes with that. Could we undersell ourselves? That's also a danger, perhaps. But what the Medrash Shmuel is alerting us to is that we shouldn't be oblivious to the fact that not everything that's exotic, not everything that looks exciting, is really right for us, or at least not right for us at this moment. And a person has to have that self-awareness, makir es makomo, as we previously learned, and therefore osa siyag lidvarav, understand that if you go too far, tafasta maru below tafasta, you could lose it all. In a different but very, very similar vein, Rabbi Lau, in his Sefer Yachal Yisrael, one of his interpretations is that you shouldn't learn faster or at a pace or at a quantity that you're not ready for. Not so much the content or the level, but simply the pace and the speed. And he quotes the Gemara in Erevin and Daf and Dalet Amud Beis, which darshens a pasuk in Mishlei Perek Yud Gimel, and the Gemara concludes and teaches us that if you make your learning chavilos chavilos, you're learning too much at a time, then you'll lose it. But if you do so al yad, a little bit at a time, bit by bit, so then you will keep it. And we saw this similar idea in one of our more recent shiurim, where other commentaries also just said that same idea, makir es makomo, know who you are, don't go too far, don't go beyond your depth. So here, the Medrash Shmuel is understanding that for this idea of osa siyag ledvarav. So whether it's the not going beyond your depth, or in Lau's case, not learning too fast or too much at a time. Again, both of these understand the idea of dvarav being your learning, and siyag dvarav, something to protect or maintain your learning. Another idea which perhaps one can suggest, Rabbi, some allude to this, is based on the cute, if not well-known, perhaps to some it's known, but certainly the cute and clever kind of aphorism that some say, based on the Mishnah in Perkei Avos, Kenei Lecha Chaver. Of course, you know that means that you should acquire a friend. But that term, Kenei, Kuf Nun Hei, so some Darshanim say refers to a quill, a kulmus, which is also referred to as a kanet. And what it means is that your quill, your pen, should be your friend. Kenei Lecha Chaver, you should be writing things down, because that's a way you'll remember things. And this brought to my mind teaching many years ago that I came across, which has always been one of my favorite insights of the Maharsha in Baba Basra, Yoram Abet, who says famously, Ikr Halimud comes from writing. Ikr Halimud shenase bo roshem, hu halimud hava meksiva sayad. That's the quote of the Maharsha, Baba Basra, Yoram Abet, that the main learning that will stay with a person, shenase bo roshem, that's the limud that comes meksiva sayad, that comes from writing things down. So that's the same idea in this more homiletical Kenei Lecha Chaver. And perhaps, we're getting a little bit more far afield, but perhaps one can suggest that that's also what's being alluded to here. If ha'osa siyag ledvarav, it means do things that will help you protect and maintain your learning. So for many people, that will specifically mean not only what you learn or how fast you learn, but the good advice to write things down. That is a second group of interpretations based on a second understanding of what dvarav is, your own learning. A third understanding of what dvarav is kind of a hybrid of those two. It refers to speech, but it refers to specifically Torah speech. That is to say, when you are teaching Torah, you have to be very, very clear. So this is something that the Chassid Yaivit says, Upirish siyag v'dvarav, shiyishmor, shelo yeira'e lo, person has to be very, very clear when he speaks, because if you are in any way imprecise, then it could lead to catastrophic consequences. And this is an allusion to, he quotes it specifically, the Mishnah earlier in Pirkei Avos and Perek Aleph, that Shemaya and Avtalion say, Chachamim hizharu bidvareichem. So when they say, Hizharu b'dvareichem, says the Ayvitz, that's what we mean when we say, Siyag b'dvarav. Be very careful and precise in how you speak. And why is that? So as numerous mefarshim there in Perek Aleph of Avos, the Bar Tanura, Rabbeinu Yonah, and the Rambam of the Perashah Mishnayos, they allude to the fact that this is, they explain, excuse me, that this alludes to the story of Tzadok and Vaitus, who were students of Avtalion, and they misunderstood one of his teachings, and that's eventually how they became, you know, heretics themselves, and, you know, fathers of heretical movements, Tzedukim, Baitusim, and it all came because, on some level, the teacher was not as clear, and therefore Shmaya and Avtalion say, we need to learn that lesson. Chachamim hizharu b'dvarechem. And that, says the Ayvitz, is what we mean in our Brisa, in the Kinyan Torah, of be very careful, siyog ledvarov, be very careful when you teach. Two amazing sources, just to add, to illustrate this point, perhaps the real source for this, teachers, you know, really being careful with what they say, comes from an incredible Medrash Tanhuma in Parshas Yisro, in Simon Tezvav, where the Medrash, and I won't read the whole thing inside or go through all the proof texts, it'll take us too long, but through a variety of proof texts, the Medrash there suggests, based on Psukim and Eov actually, that a person shouldn't be so arrogant as to just speak without preparing. But the Torah teaches us, She'im tia ben Torah, lo te ruchacha gasa, don't be arrogant, lomar davar lefnei tzibor, until you've practiced it yourself, shnayim or shalosh pamim, two or three times. You should practice first. This idea, you know, it's an old joke I remember hearing when I went into the rabbinate, and I was always offended by it. I was offended because apparently there's a certain level of truth to it. Of certain rabbanim who kind of are winging it, and you know, how long will their speech be? Well, that depends on how long their walk to shul is, because they're kind of preparing it on the fly. So I was always instinctively offended by it, and I'm happy that my instincts correspond to this very famous Medrash, which I came across quite a few years ago, but it's worth connecting here as well. Says the Medrash, it's a terrible thing, it's arrogant, selfish, arrogant, disrespectful of the tzibor, to wing it, to just get up there and let it fly, so to speak. But a person should practice, should be prepared. And how do we know this? So after the Medrash giving a proof from a story with Rabbi Akiva, who wouldn't get up in Darshan or Lane, because despite the fact that he was Rabbi Akiva, he hadn't practiced, and we should only speak when we first practice and prepared. But says the Medrash, most importantly, where do we know all this from? Shekein matzinu v'akadosh baruch hu. And this is we see from Hashem, and based on Psukim there in Yisro, which is where the Medrash is coming from, and juxtaposing them with Psukim in Eov. Again, we're not getting into the details of the mechanics of that drasha, but the upshot, says the Medrash, is that God himself did this. That even though the whole Torah is gluya lefanav, Hashem obviously knows the Torah, nevertheless, kishabal litein osa li Yisrael, before Hashem gave the Torah to the Jewish people, he somehow practiced it and spoke out the Torah first, beino levein atzmo, first by himself. And only acharei kein, then the pasuk says there in Yisro, vayomer lehem, that he said it to them, and then lemor. That's the double language there, vayomer lehem and lemor, that only then did he give the Torah. There in Shmos and Parachav, V'yidaber Elohim is called V'rem Ha'ela, and then Lamor, because Hashem first practiced it, and then he gave it. So if even Hashem has to be careful with how he teaches Torah, obviously all the more so we should as well. And lastly, in this vein, the Rambam, in one of his letters, in the Maimor Kiddush Hashem, so he makes this point, quoting the same Medrash, how when a person speaks and teaches Torah, he has to practice two or three times, but then adds the Rambam. That's talking about when you're going to speak out a Dvar Torah. But if you're planning on writing something, so if you're going to put something in writing, you have to be even more careful. And if it were possible, it would even be appropriate to review something 1,000 times. And this is also a very important lesson for all of us. Writing requires much more precision and much more clarity of thought, even than speaking. And there's a certain permanence to writing that there isn't perhaps to other things. And you never know where your writing is going to go. It's not just the people who heard you at the moment. Who knows where that writing, that published piece will be. And therefore, a person has to be super duper duper careful when they're writing or teaching, but especially writing Divrei Torah, says the Rambam, as we see from Hashem and Har Sinai, and say these Mefarshim, that's also perhaps what Asu Siyag L'Dvarav means. A fourth interpretation of what Dvarav means, again, not just speech, not our own learning, not teaching Torah, but a fourth interpretation is that Dvarav refers to all matters of life, all aspects of life. Dvarav, your things, your life. The Tiferes Yisrael, says in that vein. What does that mean? Siyag v'dvarav? Kedei shelo yikashel v'chata'im. And even though he writes very succinctly, I think it's clear that what the Tiferes Yisrael means by that, that a person should make a siyag so that he shouldn't come to sin, we can see it in some of the other commentaries a little bit more explicitly, like the Medr Shmuel says. What is dvarav? Hakavana b'chol dvarav, inyanav. All the things, all the aspects, all the matters of your life, osa siyag lehem, karesh atzmo b'mutrlo. This is the classical idea of siyag, not siyag l'chacham shtika, don't talk or be quiet, rather make siyag, make fences, make chumras, accept certain chumras upon yourself, even though certain things might otherwise be mutter, but know yourself, know your weaknesses, see how one thing could lead to another, and that life does have many slippery slopes, and therefore makar shatzmo b'mutrlach, even certain things that might be permissible, but know yourself and know that you should stay away from them. And the Lechem Shemayim, Rav Yaakov Emden, also has this as one of his interpretations. Shemesayeg atzmo shlo yifka b'yisurin. You have to be very careful so that you shouldn't even come close to violating actually surim. So take a step back. Don't go all the way up to the edge of the cliff. But take a step back and be more careful and circumspect. And both the Medrash Shmuel and Rav Yaakov Emden elaborate on the fact that we're not referring to actual isurei derabanan. Ein tzarech lomar b'gzeiros chachamim. Because after all, those are actual Torah that you have to keep by definition already. Eluhin gufei Torah shebal peh. Now that's not what we're saying to each individual person, but rather we're talking about lekadosh atzmo b'mutar midivrayim, even things that the rabbis, the permissible from the Torah, the permissible from the chachamim, from the rabbis, and yet you should still do that. You should still not violate those, but on the contrary, look for ways to add extra chumras, if you will, into your life. Of course, this calls to mind the source, perhaps, of this idea, most famously, is the Ramban's interpretation, Vayikra Perek Yutes, the Parshas Kedoshim, of the mitzvah of Kedoshim Tihyu. Unlike Rashi who, and others who give more ascetic interpretations, but the Ramban says, Kedoshim Tihyu means a similar idea, or in his famous formulation, don't be a novel Bershus HaTorah. Even things that are Birshus HaTorah, even things that are permitted according to Halacha, but don't be a novel, don't be a glutton in various physical pleasures, even things that are mutter, but don't, you don't have to do everything all the time that's permissible. You should understand that there are certain values of the Torah, and implement them, each person in their own way, but implementing those values is beyond the letter of the law, is itself part of the law, is looking for that. There's a certain obligation that we have to go even beyond the letter of the law, as paradoxical as that sounds, but that's the famous interpretation of the Ramban. And that's exactly what these various Mefarshim are saying here in our Brisa, the Tiferes Yisrael, the Medrash Shmuel, or Yaakov Emden, that osa siyag l'dvarav, and all the dvarav of your life, even the things that are mutter, look for siyagim, look for ways to add a little extra kedusha and care and preventative measures in your life. This is true for everybody. But they both the Medrash Shmuel, I think, and certainly Rav Yaakov Emden basically make the point that this is biyuchud true if you're a Talmud Chacham. Shetzarech ligdor atzmo yoser mishar ha'am. This is a standard that we should all aspire to, but there's even higher and more demanding requirements for Chachamim, or people who want to be involved in Torah, that the way they act is even in ways that are technically mutter, but if you're acting like a novel, if you're acting like a despicable person, a disgusting person, a mugusham person, someone who's just overly connected to physicality, that can be a chil Hashem and something that has to be very, very careful for. So just to quickly sum up, we saw that the key to understanding this whole idea is how to define dvarav. If we know what dvarav is, then we can understand what the siyag is to protect those dvarav. So the first interpretation we saw was it means actual. Dvarav are your words. And so siyag means don't talk so much. Siyag l'chach mashtika. And we saw how that can not only be a good thing in general, but specifically can help a person acquire a Kinyan Torah. We then saw that a whole group of Mefarshim interpretations say Dvarav specifically refer to your learning. And therefore, Siyag Dvarav means do things that will protect, preserve, and enhance your learning. So what might those be? So Maral said you have to learn in an ordered, organized, clear way, because otherwise Ir of Lashon may lead to Ir of Seichel. If you're not clear the way you talk, that will lead to confusion and lack of clarity in your own thinking. Others say it means, the Medrash Shmuel, for example, Hamuflu Mimenu Al Yidrosh, understand your level, learn things that are appropriate for you, because if you go beyond that, you won't be able to keep your learning. As Rabbi Lau said, don't learn faster or too much at one time. Or we suggest that perhaps, like the Maharsha said, sometimes even if you're learning the right things and at the right pace, but it's natural that you can forget them. But writing your notes, writing your chidushim, or writing just reviewing your notes really helps a person remember. And all these different interpretations all agree on the basic point that Hosa Siyag LaDvarav, do things that will protect and be Siyags for Dvarav for your Torah. We then saw a additional interpretation that perhaps there's a hybrid, that Dvarav means your voice, your words, when you're teaching Torah. And here is an admonition specific for people who teach Torah to be extra special careful when they speak. Chachamim hisaru b'dvareichem, because even the slightest mistake when a Rebbe or a Rabbi is speaking can have disastrous consequences with certain Talmidim. And we saw that this is, not only does the Rambam speak about this in a famous letter, but perhaps most dramatically, the Medrash says Hashem himself, when he teaches Torah, he practices because he wants to get it just right. And if Hashem, who knows the Torah perfectly, does that, obviously the lesson for us is clear. And then we saw last but not least the idea that perhaps a fourth interpretation, that Dvarav just means Dvarav in Yonav, in your life. Just, it's referring to generally all aspects of your life. And a siyag here refers to adding chumras. There is a place, there is an appropriate place for chumras. It can be overdone, but the fact that it can be overdone doesn't mean that in moderation, chumra itself can be something that's very, very enhancing to a person's spiritual life, and it's something that we should look for, that we shouldn't play games with. There are all sorts of slippery slopes in life, and if we're not careful and we don't think two steps ahead, we can get ourselves in a position which we might not be able to control or do what we need to do, and therefore, osa siyag ledvarav, keep yourself out of situations in which you're likely to fail, but be careful, think two steps ahead, always be ahead of yourself, and therefore you can make sure that hopefully, as the Ramban says, not only do you not violate actually Surim, but the way to prevent that, and the way to have a real level of Kedusha, is to add those Siyagim so you don't become a novel Bereshus Dov.